Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You but God with good credit.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Sean, today we're talking business. I know you've been in business a long time, haven't you?
A little bit, Matt. A little. 20 years plus, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sure in those 20 years you've learned a lot.
I have, but I'm always willing to learn more. You got something for me?
We do. You know what we got. Why don't you tell the people about our guests? We have a very successful businessman here to share his life journey with us. His name is Pastor Shane B. Scott. He's the senior pastor of the historic Macedonia Baptist Church located in Los Angeles, California. And in addition to being a pastor, he is also a successful entrepreneur. And we're going to talk about his business acumen today. So, Sean, why don't you give us a little more information?
Yeah, today we haven't done it in a while, but we're doing our business spotlight today. And I thought we'd bring on my good friend, Pastor Scott out of LA. I just thought his story is an interesting story to share. And, you know, entrepreneurs come in all shapes, sizes, and colors and all different sorts of business. I thought this was a great one to share.
Well, before we welcome him, why don't you give us a little backstory? Like what are we in for? What's the headline?
Well, this show is from red to black. You know, when I met with the pastor, we just having a light conversation. And I was really impressed how he's able to take a business that he inherited about 10 years ago, I would say, and take it out of debt and make it profitable and successful in LA. So I said, you know what? That in itself is a great show. And
enough said, Sean. You got me hooked. I think that's great. Let's bring on our guest. We got to get into this. Welcome, Pastor Scott. Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Hey, thanks for having me. I've become a huge fan of the show, and sometimes in my long drives from LA to the Bay Area, I binge listen to the show.
Awesome.
So thanks for having me.
You can tell me that Matt's voice is annoying. Everybody says it. We get all the time. You can tell you like my smooth voice and Matt's gonna
whatever. Sean trying to cause beef already at the great energy, Sean. Let's keep it positive. We got the pastor in the house. So, sir, let's just jump right into this. And we appreciate those kind words. And I'm glad to hear that you listen to the show. That's awesome. I really appreciate that. But we want to hear about your story. So, you know, let's start with a little background about who you are and what inspired you, first off, to become a pastor. Tell the people about yourself.
Well, listen, I was what is known as a latchkey kid. My mother in 1989 decided that she would pack up her home, put all of our clothing in a Foot Locker, board a Greyhound bus, and we traveled from Franklin, Louisiana to Richmond, California. And she started life all over again. I'm sorry?
How many siblings did you have?
None.
Oh, just you and your mom?
Just me and my mom.
random question. Do you know Percy Miller? Do you know Master P? Because I know he went from Louisiana to Richmond too. I don't know. Maybe y'all, I don't know if you've got a conversation, but he has the same geographical journey.
I don't, although every once in a while I'm on a plane with his son.
Okay.
I was going back and forth to San Antonio for a while as I was dating. And I'd be sitting on the plane with his son. It was the weirdest thing, but just a great kid. But I don't know it. I don't
okay.
know.
Well, back to you. I did when you had said Louisiana to Richmond. My mind immediately went to his story. But anyway, back to your story.
Yeah.
Continue.
So we moved to Richmond. I was 11 years old. My mother worked three jobs. At a certain point, I had a paper route, but latchkey kid, and so I found solace and comfort and shelter in the church. And you know, I was in the church. Church became a part of who I was becoming. And I sensed the call of God on my life. Never thought I'd be a pastor. I always thought I would be a king-like figure, a Martin King-like figure. But you know, every time I attempted to go to law school, God just kind of redirected me, and here I am. I pastored my first congregation for 5 years in Fresno. I now pastor here in Los Angeles. I worked on staff for a guy named Amos Brown, who is legendary in San Francisco. Here I am.
I want to get right into, you know, why I thought you would make a great guest on today's show. People may try to blend these two businesses together, but by speaking with you, I know they're two separate entities. That's being a pastor and you know, to our listeners, owning a funeral business. So let's start and ask the question, how did you even get involved in the funeral business, Pastor Scott?
Well, so very interesting. I have a congregant who owned this business. She and her husband started the business in 1974. In the early 90s, her husband died in 2009, her daughter died. And, you know, she kind of slipped into a bit of a depression. In a couple of months, she'll make 90 years old. Very sharp woman, has done incredible work. But one day she called and she said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm tired. I've got some stuff going on with the business. I'd like you to sit on the board of the business." So sat on the board. I said to her, I would not sit on the board unless there was an audit. I was familiar with some of the problems in the business.
Why did you ask for an audit?
I asked for an audit because I knew that she had been absentee. I knew why she wanted me to sit on the board, and that is because she was having...
Your business hat was on during this time.
I'm sorry?
Your business hat was on during this
It was absolutely on.
Right.
It was absolutely on. And so I asked for this audit, discovered that the business was something like $1 million in debt, probably $250,000 in past due receivables. And
people were getting free funerals?
Yeah, people were getting free funerals. Absolutely. That's exactly what was happening. People were getting free funerals.
I go a little deeper, and you can just, if you can, you know, answer, you know, as best as you can, you know, not getting too far into a business. What do you think, like, for so listeners can know, what do you think gets a business to that point where it's like $1 million?
Well, I think absentee ownership. I think that, again, in Mrs. Winston's case, yes, she was older, but she was still very sharp. But after losing her daughter, she slipped into a depression. And after slipping into this depression, I think that she just kind of checked out. And when she checked out, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play, right? And so there were people who were working for her who used her as a cash cow and were only interested in their own personal interest. And so probably a year into me being on the board and really dealing with HR issues, helping to really catch up in terms of paying some of the debt. It wasn't that there was a money problem, it was a management problem. And the person who was the manager was mismanaging the money. She called me one day and said, hey, I want to sell the business.
Were you getting paid when you were on the board, or you were just doing this?
I was not. I was simply her pastor who became her grandson.
Gotcha.
Right.
And that's how it happens. You know, honestly, I so believe, and I'm sure you believe in giving, just giving. And there's so many returns by giving. Like Matt and I do this podcast, and you know, we don't get many of the returns that people would think we get, but we've met so many key people, we've done so many great things. And you know, every week we're talking about like the greatness that this show has given to us.
Yeah.
It's given to us. So yeah. I just want to stress people that don't want to like give out their free labor, because there's so many people that would be like, oh, I got to charge a consulting fee. Oh, I got to charge a fee like that. And they're not thinking about just giving and seeing what can come out of it. You know, I think that's.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sean, you know, I mean, the plot thickens, right? So she's like, I want to sell. I said, well, you know, I don't really have money to buy. I didn't know anything about buying a business, doing a valuation, you know, understanding financing and so on and so forth. And so she said, well, you know, I think we can work out a deal. And so we worked out this deal, right? I had $50,000 that I had saved up. I put that as a down payment. She self-carried. The business loan, I refinanced the property loan. She had a small loan on the property. I refinanced it. And then, you know, as we were going through the process, you know, when you're dealing with existing staff, it became,
right.
It became messy.
Sticky, right.
Right. And so one day I called her and I was like, look, I don't want to do this. I don't need this. I don't want to do it. And she said to me, she said, Pastor, when someone gives you a gift, take it. Right. And so we're dealing with lawyers. She has a lawyer. I have a lawyer. We're writing this up. She sells me the business and the property. And then when the appraisal comes back for the property, I picked up the phone. I called her and I said, hey, the appraisal's back, and I think that there's a problem. She says, Pastor, I'm old, not senile. I know what I'm doing, right? And so I was like, okay. I was like, interesting. So the value of the property was three times what she sold it, the property and business to me for.
Wow.
So I just want to say this, and I don't know if you're giving yourself enough kudos, Pastor Scott, but you know, just for, I like to always draw the business like to what you're doing so people can understand how savvy you were. You got involved in a business, free, volunteer, and then you were able to learn the business, to understand the business. You kind of were able to reduce the risk in getting involved in it because you already got your hands dirty. You already knew what to expect. You knew the dynamics of the business. So you knew what a decent offer was, what a sound offer is, and you knew how to, then you could come in there running, you know, and then it made that negotiation process, to me, probably a lot easier for you. And a lot of people will buy business. I have friends that bought business and failed because they like the idea of buying this business, but they really don't understand the mechanics of the business. So I admire you for doing your due diligence. And like, and then what you did also, you had two businesses. You were in the business of the funeral business and you owned real estate.
So yeah, but it sounds like at the time, he, I don't know. Is that how you would you frame it like that, Pastor?
I would not frame it that way. So watch this. So I buy the business.
And the building.
And the building. I inherit all of her debt, which I didn't really do much evaluation of her debt.
Okay.
So now, I mean, for example, she has these two limos. We call them presidentials, right? And I'm paying $5,000 a piece on limos that I really should be paying $4,000 together on.
Because you assumed the deal. You had to take over what other payment was.
Right. And because of the mismanagement of her former staff, her credit was bad.
Did you fire anybody?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pastor fires?
Oh, in fact, I a part of the deal was you got to fire everybody, and I start over.
You cleaned fired house. Everybody. You cleaned house.
Clean house. I cleaned house. Well,
congratulations.
Which was tough, right?
That's a tough move. That's a really – that's knight to rook tough – chess movie.
Well, and to that point,
for years you just let them all go and start a clean house.
Well, and to that point about it being tough, and I know that the woman who sold this to you, she was a member of your church, correct?
Right.
Were the other people that worked there, was this all interconnected like that?
No. But it was tough because as big as LA is, the Black community is small.
Right.
So now you got to deal with the rumor mill. You got to deal with folk who on one hand is saying he's not the real owner, he's the front man. You got people on the other hand saying that I, you know, scammed her out of it. And then you have these people that I fired who are like, well,
upset, you know, bitter.
So I assume all of this debt. So I got a nut to her. I've got a nut to the bank, and then I've got this revolving debt, right?
What year is this? 2011, you're talking?
This is 2013, all right? And today, I have a small mortgage with the bank because I did some refinancing. I have completely paid her off, and I have no revolving debt.
Wow.
And how's your credit? How's the credit for the business? Strong?
Credit is strong. One of the things I did is I tweaked the name when I bought, and I got a totally new tax ID number, but I still, out of integrity, paid her debt.
Wow.
You know, 30 days after we closed, I get this American Express bill for $45,000 that caskets have been bought on. And I was like, you know, what do I do about this? And my heart said, even though it wasn't divulged to me, pay it.
And so just for our listeners to understand what he said, where he kind of took the nut and he tweaked the name, he could have filed bankruptcy. He could have just started at a clean slate and just moved forward from there. But his integrity allowed him not to do that as a scapegoat. So you know, the American way would have been to file bankruptcy and move on. And you just did the admirable thing and carried through with her debt and paid it off. So I just want people to understand, like, what you said, how powerful that was, and how what a type of person you are and type of businessman you are.
And Sean, it was also about her legacy. I think that, you know, really, as much as I paid for this, because I don't ever want anybody to believe that it was all free. I paid for this. But I also wanted to bless her by honoring her legacy and not staining her name.
And there's no price to that.
There's no price to that.
Question for you, Pastor. And obviously there's more to dig into on just your own, this story, because there's lots of twists and turns. But just in terms of a listener out here, if I'm thinking about buying someone else's business, or if I'm thinking about selling a bit, what did you learn things that you would do different now that you've experienced the whole journey? Oh, I could have chess moved or moved. You know, what have you learned about the process from living through the process?
So the first thing that I would suggest, or the first thing that I learned was, it's not easy, right? I think that oftentimes we walk into situations and scenarios, particularly because we're living in this media-driven society, that it's just a matter of signing documents. It's just not easy. I think the second thing is you have to be present, right? You cannot leave it in the hands of attorneys. You can't leave it in the hands of accountants. But you got to know some things for yourself. And for me, I probably my first year, I was absent because I trusted other people. But he who counts first gets the right count. Right. And I think that was my biggest lesson. Be present. I don't run the day-to-day operations of the place, but I drop in. I'm signing checks. I'm looking at the bank account every day. I am, you know, no big decisions are made without me. I completely trust my staff. These are people that I believe have my heart. And if I sense that somebody is crossing me or going to cross me, I cut them quickly.
So cut quick. Cut quick. All right. Well,
one of my friends says, hire slowly and fire quickly.
Okay. I think that's a great note. And another note is go to commercial break when you have to. So we're going to take a quick break. Now that we learned that jewel of cut quick, well, we're going to take a quick break. So everyone stay tuned. We have more with Pastor Scott, and we're going to learn more about his entrepreneurial business journey. So stay tuned to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Black guys. Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today on our business spotlight, it's From Red to Black. That's the theme. We have Pastor Scott, who's been breaking down the process of turning his business to a business that was in the red, to a business that's in the black. It's a funeral home. What's the name of the funeral home for people who want to do
House
some more?
Winston. House of Winston.
House of Winston. It's a success story. So let's jump back into this success story. Sean, what you got for us?
So I just want to bring a little clarity, because some people listening may think, oh, it was easy for you because you are a pastor, and pastor and your funeral business are kind of synonymous with each other. So it's easy for you to kind of get involved in this business and make it successful. So for our listeners, can you debunk that myth of like just explaining differences between like funeral business and running a ministry?
Well, listen, my congregation is 112 years old. It was there before I got there. It will be there after I leave. Pastoring is what I do. It is not who I am. I am multidimensional, and I am intentional about not marrying the two. If you sit in my congregation and you decide that at the end of your life you want to utilize another funeral business, guess what? We are not going to fall out about that. There's no requirements for you to utilize my business in order to be a member of my church. In fact, I prefer that you not use my business, because if you use my business, there are some expectations that, you know, I'm going to give you some kind of discount, and which I might, but there's no requirement of it. And so I prefer that if you have those expectations, that you just go somewhere else. So it is completely separate. I don't marry staff. I don't marry. I keep it completely separate.
What about during the pandemic and COVID? How did you stay afloat with? Did you have to get any of the PPP loans, or did you have to lay people off? Did it hurt your business? Obviously, I mean, it's weird it feels weird. Just, I'm sorry. I know it's a business, but we're talking a funeral home. So it's like, I know part of your business is burying the dead, but in terms of running your business, were you impacted by COVID?
So not really. So first of all, let me say, I did get the PPP loan, and I got the PPP loan because, you know, America don't give black folk anything for free, and they were giving out free money, so I took it. But secondly, you know, we had about 30 days where things were just weird, and, you know, LA wasn't hit the way New York was hit.
Right away.
And so it was slow coming to LA in terms of the impact of COVID. And so we had about 30 days when, you know, people were scared to do funerals, and people just didn't know what to do, and hospitals didn't know how to release bodies, and funeral homes didn't know how to have services. But one of the things that I did that many other black firms did not do, and I attribute it to just kind of my knowledge of social justice. When other funeral homes were turning people down, when people would call and say, my loved one died of COVID, and other funeral homes were like, no, we can't, I was taking them.
Okay.
Part of that was the pastor in me, that I could not handle seeing people not be able to visit a loved one in the hospital and then not be able to celebrate their lives.
Right.
And so, you know, we were taking people. Now, you know, we had to deal with cemeteries, and we had to deal with, number restrictions and all of that. But we saw a major uptick in business. We didn't lay anybody off. In fact, we did some hiring through the pandemic. You know, when we could not help a family, we found a place that could help them. I got a call from Congresswoman Waters one day who said that she had a friend who had died in Las Vegas, that no funeral home in LA would take her friend because everybody was busy. She says, hey, Pastor, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but can you take care of this for me? Now, celebrities in LA, when they die, they generally go to Forest Lawn, they go to Angela's, or they go to Inglewood Cemetery. And, you know, none of them would take this woman who was a celebrity. I took the woman, took care of her, got her buried. And, you know, I think that, you know, this business is all about pivoting. It's all about making adjustments. It's all about treating families with dignity, compassion, respect. And it's about adjusting.
Right.
And that's what we did. And I think that that's what separated us from the rest.
I think you're kind of underplaying yourself. I mean, you're a savvy businessman. You know, in business, if you can find a way to satisfy a demand that nobody else wants to, that's a great business guy to be able to do that, to satisfy, because other funeral business at the end of the day, they didn't know how to pivot to like, okay, the environment, the market is changing. There's these COVID deaths that are happening. How do we handle that volume? Instead, they just ran from it. You embrace it and took it in and say, okay, here's how I'm going to make it work. Here's how I can adjust. I'm sure you had to make a lot of adjustments in your funeral business to make it work. And it wasn't a 1, 2, 3, but you felt confidence, like I was saying, business, that you can do this and you can make it work.
Sean, I want to be clear. While everybody else was price gouging people, I mean, there was incredible markups on funerals. I just wanted to help people.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, you know, yes, I'm a businessman. I've learned it. You know, I was 12 years old with a paper route. My mother would get up with me at 3:30 in the morning to deliver newspapers. And then by 6 o'clock, she's on the bus on her way to work. I learned how to do business early.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's see, I say it was like, this is my question for you then. You know, so people that don't understand the funeral business like myself, how do you remain competitive in the funeral business? One, and I also know, is there a way that you can actually gain market share in the funeral business? I don't see it as a business where you just kind of sit back and wait for business. So what are the two things that you can, how can you, let me ask that question, 3, 2, 1. So what do you think it takes to be competitive in the funeral business, and how do you gain market share?
So the first thing is, I'm not a competition type of guy. I'm very secure in who I am. And what I understand is that service sells itself, right? Rolls Royce is not on television, or Bentley is not on television advertising.
So quality is the
quality, right? So you come in, you can come in looking like Sammy Davis Jr. on crack, but we're gonna send you out looking like, you know. And I'm not suggesting that Sammy, nobody. Don't send an email.
We get too fast.
but it's service, right? I tell my staff all the time, listen, you are not selling a product, you are selling service. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing, it's relationship. This is a relationship-driven business. Now, it has changed over the years. There used to be a time when if Big Mama went to a funeral home, everybody in the family was going to a funeral home. Now, people who never saw $5,000 or $10,000 in an insurance policy is trying to navigate and negotiate. And so they're like shopping for a used car. But our firm is about relationships.
I have a question just to backtrack a little, and I don't know, I don't think we covered this, but you brought up the fact that when you first bought the funeral home that, and you talked about the debt and how the, and the credit, but how exactly, what was your strategy? How did you get out of the debt? How did you get out of the red?
Buster Sorries, Dr. DeForest Sorries out of Somerset, New Jersey, has a book called D-Free. He's a pastor. At one time, he was Secretary of State. He has done this incredible job in helping people to deal with their finances. I saw him on CNN during the height of the mortgage crises, decided that I would get his book, read the book, and then one day I made a blind phone call to him. This was prior to me buying the funeral home. I made a blind phone call to him and said, hey, I'm a pastor. I need a mentor. Would you mentor me?
Wow, great.
Right. And then he said, well, yes. This was like on a Monday. He was like, I'll see you in my office on Thursday. I live in LA, right? He's in New Jersey. I book a flight, missed the flight, called him and said, hey, doc, I missed the flight. I don't know that I'm going to make it. He's like, okay. And there was something about his voice that said to me, you need to get there. Man, I got on a plane, figured it out, got there, and it changed my life. I used his process of debt elimination. And what I didn't tell y'all is that 3 weeks after I signed closing documents for the business, I got a phone call that destroyed my marriage. So I went through a divorce.
That's a lot. That's a lot on the plate at one time.
So I'm a pastor dealing with church people going through a divorce, trying to change the dynamics of a business, three small children, working on a doctorate degree. Life was different. But financially, it was Dr. Sorries who really helped me to strap down. I snowballed the debt.
Oh, is that I was going to ask real quick, is there a quick version of what his theory is on debt reduction?
So I snowballed the debt. I called all the creditors and I said, look, this is what I can pay you. Some of them was like, well, no, we need more. I said, well, you're not going to get more. Come get your cars. Come do this. Come do that. But this is what I can pay you. And slowly but surely, I got them to put in writing that they would accept a certain payment. Slowly but surely, I'm able to give them more.
And that's called snowballing the debt, right? So this is what our listeners can understand. That's snowballing the debt.
Right. But I negotiated interest rates. I negotiated payments. I had one creditor that I negotiated not to pay them every month, but to pay them every other month.
So basically, you made a plan that worked for you.
All the time, you know, be successful in business, you have to have a certain level of confidence and know that everything's negotiable. Don't be scared to have a conversation. Don't be scared to ask a question. And, you know, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Like, you were juggling and you made it work. And all the debtors were eventually satisfied, I assume.
Yep.
You know, because you had the courage and the discipline. Like I say it all the time, people that are not successful in business, they allow distractions to get in their life. And you have to kind of know, like, you know, I always tell people, you know, to commingle your issues is the wrong thing to do. They're separate entities. They're not dependent on one another. And you handle them independently and you focus on the business hand and try to keep moving forward, kind of keep forward moving. And, you know, you've done all those great things. So with that being said, what's next for the pastor? Like, what do you, more funeral homes?
No, man, I hope to, I don't know what's next. But it's certainly not the funeral business. I want to do some real estate investing. You know, Sean, you're my hero, man. I listen to you.
Brother, as you are mine, I'm coming to LA, so we are definitely hanging out and chopping it up.
Yeah. But real estate for me, I'm getting ready to get married again. And I, you know, I said to my fiance that we're going to buy real estate.
Well, your first business was real estate and business. So you did get into the real estate game. That was, and now what's that property worth that you bought? Is it still?
It's worth about 4.6.
Congratulations, brother. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Pastor, we appreciate you sharing your journey, sharing this information on our business spotlight from red to black. And it's been quite a motivational story. And I've learned a lot. And the whole snowball, I think our listeners out there, like, if you are dealing with personal debt, business debt, investigate that snowball plan. That sounds like a really good strategy. But we want to thank you for joining us, Pastor.
Yeah, no problem. Matt and Sean, I'm a certified coach. If there's anybody, particularly here in the LA area, that is looking for coaching, small business coaching, I'm available to do so. Our church has a community development corporation, ORM. You all had Alex on recently. Alex leads our community development corporation.
We love Alex.
And so access to capital is something that we do. Give us a call.
How do they reach out to you? How do they get in touch with you, Pastor Scott?
So Shane B. Scott. .com, ShaneBScott.com, or they can call us at the office, Macedonia CDC, and that's 323-569-9561. 323-569-9561.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you. And for those that are listening, I know you got a lot of gems out of this episode. So once again, thank you, Pastor.
Thanks for having me. One love, y'all.
All right. Thank you. All right, Sean, that was a really interesting business spotlight. I really enjoyed Pastor Scott. Do you have any takeaway or final thoughts on this?
I just hope our listeners understand business, how can it comes in different forms and different fashions, but there's always key ingredients when it comes to being actionable, for him being assertive and calling his debtors, working something out, the confidence, have him have the courage to fire all of his staff and for those that don't run their own business, that's a hard move. I don't know if I could walk you through this stuff because there's got to be some people in there seasoned that can teach you certain things. But to fire everybody and to a clean slate, that's really, you know, that's a strong move. And in just how he was able to navigate and understand, like, he's a pastor and he's a funeral home and he's not trying to commingle them. You know, I thought, you know, I really admired him and his business savviness and, you know, where he's going in his life.
I agree with that. And I also thought it was him being a pastor, it fits, but like his kind of his inner faith, but also the ethics of him wanting to help save the house of Winston when Mary Louise Winston, the woman who sold it to him, when she basically said, you know, when someone gives you a gift, like he was getting a little shaky on it, but it was still a gift. And he pivoted even when he started to realize, oh, this isn't what I thought. He was learning on the fly, but was still able to, because like we're all learning. We're all on a journey learning in our personal business. And as our business gets bigger and bigger, if you do more things, you're going to learn more lessons. But he was learning a lesson on the fly and he didn't like tap out and run away from it. He kind of got the reins and he flipped it and he ended up getting that real estate bonus gift that really kind of righted the ship. But his faith and his stick-to-itiveness was impressive to me.
Absolutely. And I always say, like, everybody receives a gift in life. Everybody does. I don't care if you're a homeless guy in the street. It's what you do with that gift when it's given to you, how you make that gift work for you. And for those that are listening, you all are going to receive a gift and you'll continue to receive gifts. It's what you do with that gift. And that's an example of what you can do with a gift that's present to you, that's presented to you.
Well, this was a gift to our listeners, so I hope you enjoyed the gift of the information that Pastor Scott shared with us. So as I always say, nothing changes if nothing changes. So hopefully you'll take this information and use it. So for Two Black Guys with Good Credit, I'm Matt Smith, and I'm out.
I'm Sean Lindo, always the better half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And like I say every show, your money is your money. Keep it in your damn pocket. And for all those that want to be part of the Business Spotlight, kind of send us an email at tbgwgc@gmail.com and tell us about your business. Maybe we'll bring you on as a guest as well. Yeah, send us a note. Looking forward to hearing from you. And I'm out, Matt. See ya. Black guys.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.